So now, Perek Tes, Mishnah Hey. Hamakam osa de mechavera v'lo asa. A guy, the farmer takes the field, and he'll do his best, and he does do his best. Unlike the previous Mishnah, I asked why the guy's lazy. Here he's not lazy. The problem is, for whatever reason, the field doesn't produce. It just doesn't work out. Whatever the reason, you know, it was bad weather or something. Just, you know, that happens from time to time as a farmer. So what happens is the crop doesn't show. It's a very nerve-wracking scenario for a farmer. He plants and does everything the whole winter and hopes and prays that come spring things will sprout. But it doesn't always work out. Maybe it froze, there was a late freeze or something, and that's what happened here. The guy took the field, the farmer took the field, he did his best, but then come springtime, nothing's really growing on it. So he says, the farmer says, listen, I don't want to deal with this field. It's not worth it to me. There's a few, you know, few grains growing here and there. I'm not going to work this field. It's a big job. Imagine you have to water it and all that kind of stuff. Forget it. So that's the case here. He doesn't want to, but the farmer, well, he doesn't want to deal with all that work for that little pay. The landowner says, listen, whatever it's going to produce, I want my fair share. So again, obviously we're not talking about the case of the choker, because if he's paying a fixed rent, then the landowner says, I don't care what you do, just pay me. And in such a case, by the way, the din will be that let's say, for example, that the guy takes a chakiris, he says, I'm paying you 30 bushels of wheat a year in rent, and the field produces nothing or less than 30, he'll have to go to the marketplace, of course, and buy the extra wheat and provide it to the landowner. So here, that's not the case. The case, of course, is not an issue where he's taking a rent. It's where the farmer is paying a fixed proportion of the produce. And here, there's not much produce. So the landowner says, okay, so you'll get me one bushel, but at least I want my one bushel. And the farmer says, forget it. That's such a cup trade for nothing. I'm not interested in working. So that's the standoff here. So the Mishnah says, Tanakhama says, Im yesh ba kadei lahamid kri, chayav letapel ba. If there's enough grain growing in the whole field that you could amass a single kri, a single pile, a heap of it, then he has to work it. It's funny, this shear is a funny shear. How big is a heap of wheat grain? So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, it's big, it's also a strange shear. The Gemara says, big enough that you could take the, they used something that was like a pitchfork. I think it was like a shovel and a fork, but the same thing. They would, like, you know, scoop up the grain and throw it in the air. So that's a big enough pile that you could stick the shovel, like the pitchfork, into the pile and it would stand up by itself. What a weird measurement is that. In any case, so there's two opinions in the Gemara, if that's two saw or three saw, and Reish Lakish pox in the halacha, it's maybe something in the middle, maybe it's not a machlokas. It's that there's, after the farmer takes back his expenses that he had, whatever particular expense he had, he can get reimbursed for, there's still two saw left of wheat. That's the, if there's two saw left of wheat, then the farmer has to work it and provide those two saw to his landowner. Remember, I think there must have been a standard side of the pitchfork, but the saw is still the saw. So the saw is like the 12 liters, so two saws, 24 liters, roughly, and three saw, 36 liters. So somewhere between 24 and 36 liters of grain, that's how much the field would have to have in order to be worth something that the landowner can force the farmer to work it. So Rabbi Yehuda says that's a little ridiculous. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Ma kitzva b'kri. What kind of crazy measurement is a kri? Not because different pitchforks come in different sizes. I think there must be a standard size pitchfork. But how can you talk about the total production of the field? You know, some fields are enormous. Imagine you have a 100-acre field and the whole thing can produce, you know, 24 liters of grain. So you're going to force the farmer to work, you know, work a 100-acre field for you know, a few buckets of wheat. That's crazy. So he says, not fair. He says you can't disconnect the amounts of produce that the field generates from the size of the field, because that's, of course, how much work you have to put into it. It's not fair. So he says, Ela yeshba kadei nefila. He says, if there's enough grain growing on the field that you could take those, that grain, those kernels, and reseed the field next year, So of course now it's become a ratio of, obviously, there's enough grain growing that if you harvest that grain, at least you'll have next year's seed to replant the field. So then you have to work it, says Rabbi Yehuda. If it's less than that, then you can just say, forget it, the farmer's had a bad year, and he doesn't have to work it. Okay.
So that's things, and we see a lot. Just a couple of bushels, you know. You get tons of
bread. Well, you need, to be exact, you need one saw per base saw, hence the name. So here, this would be one a saw, which would be 12 liters per base saw, which is 50 by 50 almost, 2,500 square almost. We said like was like, you know, roughly a quarter of a dunam, whatever, 600 or so square meters. Whatever it is. But indeed, your point is, We're talking small amounts of both. Everyone's talking about small amounts of grain, but whatever it is. Rabbi Yehuda is just saying we don't want to disconnect the gross production of the field from the size of the field. Because again, remember the standoff is the farmer saying there's so little, you know, meat on this bone. Why the heck do I have to work this massive field? It's not fair. And the landowner says, I don't care what you have to. I want whatever you can squeeze out of it. I want you to squeeze out of it for me. That's the standoff. Because the deal is 50-50 split. So the farmer has everything to lose and nothing to gain, and the landowner has everything to gain and nothing to lose. Right? So that's the standoff. So the Tanakhama says, if there's a significant amount of grain, then he has to do it. How much is significant? Two saw after you deduct for expenses.
The generation that essentially, you know, Jewish legislators, they're coming up with, you know, fair rules. It's not like this,
exactly what they are.
I heard this Torah so much, we've seen it in this system. No, I heard this Torah. It's not like an argument what, you know, was handed down. This just was never, these are details that they need to
I assume so.
So it's like they're legislators.
Yeah, well, they are legislators.
That doesn't make sense, we're going to go with this.
Presumably.
It's like Knesset making up laws.
I mean, it's the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Knesset took the name from the Anshei Knesset Gedolah.
I'm just trying to get them.
Well, I'm not...
No, he's using logic. There's a lot of logic going into these halachot. It's not just, you know...
I do not...
from my father's Rebbe, whatever.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. In other words, I don't know if these rules would have applied to what was going on with the Shvatim when they first came into Eretz Yisrael. You know, 1,000 years before the Mishnah was redacted, 1,500 years before. Well, there's only one sheet. There's only Rabbi Yehuda's one Das Yachid. So I'm saying I can't say definitively because I wasn't there. I'm not sure when they're legislating this, but I don't know.
See, they may or may not be basing it upon past history, but the bottom line is they're saying, "Well, this is how it's got to be." This is just an example, but applies to the whole
mission. You're jumping. You're jumping too fast, too far. And I'm just saying you're making too many assumptions. I don't know which is true. In other words, it's certainly true that Moshe came down, explained that there has to be a fair ratio between a renter and a farmer and a landowner. Now, if Moshe came down saying, "And what's fair, to saw or enough that the pitchfork can stick it on," I don't know. I'm not saying no. I'm not saying that's not true. I just don't. I don't.
Well,
I wasn't there. Well, that is certainly true on the one hand, and as much as...
In other words, today, for example, we're going to make sakalacha on refrigerators and cars and mechanics. So obviously, we didn't discuss that. We discussed general guidelines.
Well,
this stuff exists in
that.
Yeah, you're jumping a little... You're jumping too fast. You want... I know what you... You have an agenda of what you want it to be, and therefore you're assuming that's what it must be, but I'm telling you, it's not necessarily like that. Uh-huh. It says... It says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw. Moshe Rabbeinu heard from Hashem everything that even every Talmud Vasik, every accomplished student would learn, and every question would ask throughout all of human history. So Moshe was party to that. Moshe was a Navi. So Moshe was party to your. Let's assume you're a Talmud Vasik, and this is your question. Moshe was party to your question. He heard your question, and he would have had something to say. He knew you were going to ask this. Every good question. Let's say it's a good question. But Moshe didn't share all that with everybody.
Right.
All he shared with are some set of principles that was given to share. Like some stuff was private learning and some stuff was public sharing. So Moshe laid down principles. Now, you're asking a question that I cannot answer, which is, what principle did he lay down? It's totally within the bounds of reasonable and, you know, normative Jewish hashkafa, if it wouldn't have any problem. I wouldn't have any problem if someone tells me, oh, the Ritva said Moshe came down from Sinai and he said it has to be fair, and we'll leave it to the basin to figure out what's fair.
Well, don't they?
That could be. He also could have come down saying it has to be fair, and fair is a pitchfork sticking in the thing or two saw. Like, I don't know what law he said.
Well, let's go the other way. Aren't there times in the Mishnah where it says this is halacha on Moshe Mishina? In other words, don't we see that sometimes?
You do see that sometimes.
It says that that's Moshe Mishina. So we see times that a Tana or whatever is saying, I know because this is halacha on Moshe Mishina. So is it fair to assume that? So okay, those are the cases.
No, so I'm saying no. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because everything was from Moshe Mishina. The halach Moshe Mishina is when you have something that doesn't. Halach Moshe Mishina means something totally different. Halach Moshe Mishina, when that
statement.
Yeah, when that description is used, it means that there's a din that has no basis in exegesis from the psukim. You cannot extract it from a pasuk.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's what that's coming to address. So it's saying even though. If you would, there's no drusha which says tefillin ought to be black. There's no drusha that says tefillin ought to be black. But notwithstanding, we know it has to be black because Moshe came down from Arsina and said tefillin has to be black. So there is no. I don't believe there's a pasuk. I don't remember seeing the Gemara now. I just learned that would say that said it's too soft or that the pitchfork sticking in. But I'm just saying I don't know. I don't know who legislated it. I don't know where it comes back. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm not clear from the Gemara. But the Mishnah's time already, so I'm not sure if they're saying they've had this tradition for 100 years or 1,000 years or since Moshe himself. These are the Shirim. I don't know. I don't know. But all that said, you're about the specific Mishnah, I am agreeing this much of your premise, I will grant. It's certainly true that for much of Dini Mamonos, of financial stuff, the Sanhedrin of its time, Anshei Knesset Gedola of its time, and the Sanhedrin of its time, which whenever it was, were legislators.
Right.
And they did legislate. Exactly.
Trying,
so they did legislate. And they would have to then, they'd say, listen, we have to come up with some fair rules between, you know, owner and farmer. And right. Then they discuss that and they voted, and this is what they decided. I don't want to go there. It's just a different topic. I just want to finish this thought here. So here what presumably happened, now I'm like going with your line of thinking, is that at some point, I don't know if it's in the Mishnah's time or 100 or 1,000 years prior to that, they sat down and they had a discussion. The majority said, we'll go with asking an objective amount to saw. The minority said, no, we have to do it paraded based on the size of the field. And Rabbi Yehuda was the lead advocate of the minority opinion, and the Mishnah therefore brings him down. So you should know that the Sanhedrin considered that, and we decided to reject it. Usually, when a das yachid is brought down, the usual reason why we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, we pass like the Chachamim. But the reason why das yachid is brought down usually is to let you know, like we know that's a discussion. And Taka, if you think that you're not crazy because other people greater than you thought of it, but we've considered it and we decided against it.
Wow.
And so that's what's going on over here. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not fair. You have to make it based on, you know, what the field produces. On the other hand, the Chacham and Paskin, this is how the halacha is, listen, if there's some objective amount where there's a significant amount of grain to be lost by the landowner, you contract to work it, you have to work it and give him his fair share, and if there's something he's incurring a loss, you have to take care of him if the loss is to the size of two saw, or whatever the story is. So, that's the Mishnah over here. But the loss is like a ton of comma. Two saw, approximately, after expenses, that's what you have to now work. If you're a farmer, you have to work the field regardless of its size. Yeah.